This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, Summer Fridays with the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by new Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. Well, the Nets against the Celtics. It starts tomorrow at Barclays Center. This is what this team was built for. It almost seemed like the regular season is a bit of a dress rehearsal. Well, let's see what they do now on their run on Broadway. And the guy who built this team and has turned around this franchise and this organization is the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, Sean Marks, and he joins us now. Sean, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. Do you believe, like many say, and I say this as well, that you guys, you know, the way this team is built, you have to win a championship this year. That's it. I mean, the path is there, and now you have to go do it.
Yeah, well, look, I think we have high expectations for ourselves, right? And that was set, you know, going back a couple of years ago with some of the moves that we made to sort of put this roster in place and also including some of the moves we made this year. And so I think we know what's at stake. We all own it. I think it's important to own that. And, you know, with any sort of championship-type run, you know you have to, a lot of things have to fall into place. You know, that could be health. That could be a lot of different things. So we're just gearing up and making sure we're in the best possible place to give this a good run as we can.
Health has been an issue, Sean. Do you wish you had a few more regular season games for these three to play together? Do you think it'll be any kind of an issue?
You know, I'm not sure if it'll be an issue. I don't think so. I think those guys are so, you know, they've been around each other so much this year, you know, not necessarily on the court, which we'd have loved to have seen. And I could say, look, I'd love to have a couple more, you know, as you put it earlier, some a dress rehearsal for the playoffs. Anytime you get to sort of have that on-court camaraderie is something that we could need and cherish. But yeah, you know, that's just not the case this year. So, you know, I don't want to make any excuses. I know they're not going to make any excuses. I think we all know why we're here and what we're trying to do. And thankfully, it's a high IQ bunch, and those guys have been around. They've seen every sort of defense that could be thrown at them. So that should at least help us, you know, in this next series.
Sean, how much are you in the conversations about people's availability? And how much is that left to Steve, trainers, et cetera? Are you always in the know of exactly kind of who's doing what?
Yeah, I think it's the way we do everything here. We collaborate on everything, whether that's a draft pick, whether it's a trade, or whether it's somebody's availability. And how many minutes, should we push them, should we not push them? And I would also include the players in that. You know, we always ask the players, like, how are they feeling? You know, are you going to fight us to play? Or, you know, if not, there's probably something not quite right there. But at this point in the year, I don't think there's a team out there that's, you know, 100% healthy. Everybody has some nicks and banged up a little bit to some sort of extent. And it's going to be about managing this, you know, throughout the course of the playoffs.
You know, so many people said the big three have only played in 8 games. And I said this when we had your coach, Steve Nash, on a couple of days ago. I'm picking your team to win the title because these are three of the greatest players in basketball history, and I think they're going to figure it out. And what Steve said was, I agree with that offensively. He said, but we have to see on the defensive end. Is that also how you feel?
Yeah, I think he's right. You know, and especially defense. That's a team. That's really where the team comes into play. Everybody needs to be on a string, helping each other, talking, communicating, and, you know, not sort of second guessing, does somebody have my back? You know, what are we in right now? The over communicate. And we've been working on that this week. I mean, it's been sort of like a mini training camp for us this week as we prepare. And there'll be some times without a doubt that we maybe mess up a coverage here or there and so forth. But again, I think it does go back to what we've seen throughout, although limited, the time that they've spent on the court, they do hold each other accountable. And that goes for everybody. You know, it's not, people talk about the big three, but, you know, there's other veterans there, you know, Jeff and Blake and DJ and everybody else that has played, you know, in really big, meaningful games throughout their career. And they know what's at stake, too.
And Sean, when we're looking at this league, right, with the exception of certain teams that maybe don't have the offense to compensate, when you talk defense, are you talking 48 minutes of defense? Are you talking about D'ing up in the key moments of the game?
Well, I hope that, you know, it's hard to play defense for an entire 48 minutes without, you know, without some lapses, without a doubt. So, you know, for us, you know, we're going to have to be really clued up. And, you know, as I mentioned before, the communication piece is going to be crucial, you know, and that could be guys yelling from the bench, not only just the coaching staff, it could be everybody because, you know, as you said, we have not had the luxury of playing together, you know, as a group and as a team and really getting to know one another that well on the court. You know, off the court, we're trying to make do and do as best as we can. And you know, James has been out for a considerable amount of time, you know, lately, but he's been in the coaches' huddles, in the coaches' meetings and stuff. So he's, you know, as much in tune as, you know, as he possibly can. And, you know, he's a very high IQ basketball player to begin with.
Now, speaking of coaching, I'm wondering about this, Sean. Like, if my kids, when they turn 16, and all of a sudden they get their driver's license and I just give them a Lamborghini, that's a lot of responsibility. you gave Steve Nash a Lamborghini. You didn't give him, like, a Volkswagen. So how do you think he's done, and do you think he's ready for the challenge of this?
Well, you know, I think Steve steered, you know, as close to a Lamborghini, you know, a few years ago in Phoenix. I mean, you know, he wasn't the head coach then. I mean, that was Mike D. But at the same time, you know, he knows what's at stake here. I think he's done an amazing job. The poise, the humility, you know, and really the collaboration that he's shown with his coaching staff and the players has been really terrific to watch. You know, you watch, we talk about, but, you know, a coach finding his voice and finding a rhythm in which to coach with. And I think Steve has done that throughout the year. But he's really leaned on his coaching staff and leaned on, you know, the big three for one, but, you know, but other guys on the team as well, and taking them aside and said, hey, you know, how would you like to do this? What about this? We're thinking about this particular coverage and so forth. And, you know, he's built a trust there with the players, which has been great. And it's really the same way he played. So, it doesn't surprise me, the success and the respect that he's had with this group, and it's been fun to watch him continue to grow.
The situation with Caris LeVert, you guys traded him, of course. I know he was a beloved member of the team before that. Then he finds out this health situation. Take us through what that was like for you and how much contact you had with Caris as time went on afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a gut-wrenching, to be honest. You know, firstly, it's, you know, difficult to move on from a player like Caris. I'm not sure you ever completely move on. I mean, I think he and I and Jared as well will always be linked. You know, Caris was our first draft pick here with this regime. So there's always, you know, a special place for Caris within the Brooklyn franchise and so forth. And then, you know, to get the news of his health, I mean, I'm not going to lie, that was completely devastating for all of us, you know, because he's now not, you know, in our little nucleus of family, and, you know, he's with Indiana. So there was a lot of conversations, not only between, you know, myself and Caris, performance team and Caris, but really with the Pacers. And I think the Pacers handled it, you know, absolutely terrific. I mean, they were leaning on us. They were giving us, you know, as much information as they possibly could, because they knew how much Caris meant to us. And, you know, thank the Lord that, you know, he's better than okay. He's come out fighting, and, you know, as I think we've seen, he looks terrific on the court.
We know about the big three. That's always the conversation. But in a series like this, Sean, who are some of the other guys we need to pay attention to and need to step up in order for you to be able to beat Boston?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'd hate to sort of, you know, give the answer of, like, I don't know, but I really don't know. And that's what makes this great, because it is a team sport. And I think with any sort of championship run, and, you know, when you view yourself as a contender, you know, you're going to have to go through some incredible teams to get there. And obviously, first off, Boston, we can't take those guys lightly. But it always seems to me that there's another player steps up. I don't know if it's Joe Harris. I don't know if it's Landry Shamet. Could it be Nick Claxton's defense? You know, I really don't know who's going to be the one that's going to step up and change a game around for us. But part of us having, you know, the unfortunate, you know, having to go through, I don't know how many games it was, a couple of hundred games man missed games due to injury and so forth, you know, other people have got a chance to step up. You know, we've seen Blake step up and win games for us. We've seen Bruce step up and, you know, really contribute and help win games for us. So, you know, in the playoffs, we're going to need one of these role players, you know, not part of the big three, to step up and play like they have throughout the season for us, which is, you know, we would not be here. We would not be in this situation if it wasn't for those guys.
Talking to Nets general manager Sean Marks here on the Michael Kay Show. The Nets against the Celtics tomorrow night at Barclays Center. You're the head of this organization in terms of personnel, and Kyrie Irving is a very important part of what you guys do. And, you know, at the beginning of the week, he has a press conference. He's very socially attuned to everything that's going on in the world, and he's a responsible adult, and he cares about things. But when he says, you know, there's so much going on in the world, basketball's not as important to him, and he doesn't even feel like talking about it, does that give you pause and go, whoa, wait a minute? You know, you're an important part of it. The basketball has to be really important to you for us to win this. I mean, is that a conversation you have with him, or did it give you pause at all, Sean, when he said that?
Yeah, no, it absolutely did not give me any pause. I mean, we've had very open dialogue throughout the year with Kyrie, and I respect the fact that he's very in tune, as you said, with what's going on around the world, and has brought these conversations to light. And, you know, he's used his platform to bring it up, to have discussions about this. And, you know, whether it's what's going on in society, social injustice, you know, COVID and vaccinations, everything else. And he's used his platform in that regard. You know, I know what makes Kyrie tick in terms of basketball. I know what he wants to do here. He's very open about, you know, his legacy, coming back home, coming to Brooklyn, and doing something special here. So I know where his focus is. I'm not worried about that. And, you know, I think we've never had to question the effort that Kyrie has given, you know, when he's out on the court, without a doubt.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Is he that way all the time, Sean, even when you talk to him privately? Because when we hear him speak, he's so eloquent. Like, every word means so much. Like, it seems like he's such a deep thinker. Is that 24/7 with him, or is that just during the press conference? Does he ever let down his hair? Does he ever kind of just talk extemporaneously?
Yeah, look, I think he can talk at a variety of different levels. And he's a very well-spoken, he's very educated, you know, he's worldly. So these are all attributes that, you know, I enjoy the conversations I have. I mean, we may sit down one day and we may start talking about, you know, the game that happened last night. Next, you know, we're talking about families and backgrounds and where we've all come from. And then it's, you know, whether it's on to politics or what's happening outside of just the lines on the court. So you never quite know where that conversation is going to go, but I do welcome those. And, you know, when you're trying to, you know, get to know people better and better over the course of time, it's always exciting and interesting to know what makes guys tick. And I think that's part of, you know, building a culture. That's part of having honest conversations with guys, is really getting to know them far beyond just the basketball court and having appreciation for who they are and what they stand for.
So you started the season expecting to go in with a big two and the other pieces around, and then James Harden becomes available. And, you know, the other pieces are really important people to you. I know how you've built this team. I mean, it's like a family that you're developing. And James Harden is so otherworldly great, and all of a sudden he's available. How tough was it to say, okay, I'm letting go of Jared Allen. I'm going to let go of Caris LeVert. Was that an easy call because of the greatness of Harden, or was it difficult because of the guys that you had to give up that you cared about, and that played a big role in getting the Nets up to this point?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of both. I mean, it's never easy, you know, moving on from anybody, whether that's by not picking up a guy's option or trading them. You know, I mean, we do pride ourselves on just being the Knits family. And, you know, when you lose a couple members of your family, or at least they move on to other teams, that's very difficult. It was not an easy decision to have those conversations with the players and their respective families, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, then you look at it and say, well, when on earth are we going to get an opportunity to add a player of James's caliber to this team during this window? I mean, we know what this is all about in pro sports is, you know, seizing the moment, seizing the opportunity, and, you know, it doesn't come without, you know, risk, but, you know, with some risk, you know, hopefully there's a lot of reward at the end of this. And I think what we've seen from James has been, you know, incredible, not only on the court, but what he's brought to the team off the court as well.
You mentioned the window. How big is the window?
Well, the guys are under contract for a couple more years, and you know, we hope that we're putting something sustainable here in Brooklyn. You know, we've never sort of, we don't want this to be a fleeting moment. We don't want this to be a simple, quick appearance in the playoffs and so forth. You know, we want to make this long-standing, and I think, you know, we've got the backing of our owner. You know, Joe Tsai has been, you know, absolutely amazing, not only for the team but for the borough of Brooklyn. So when he's got his fingerprints, not only of the franchise, but what he's done, you know, outside of just the Brooklyn Nets, and what he and his wife have done, Clara, through their philanthropy, you know, just shows what they're trying to do here, and it's generational. It's not, you know, a couple of years here. This is long term.
All right. So, what's the situation tomorrow at the Barclays Center? How many people do you think are going to be there, and how will that impact a home court advantage, which really a lot of teams have not had this year? You've played on the home court, but you haven't had that loud support. How many people do you expect tomorrow?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the great thing right now. I mean, I just got some great news today that, you know, it's going to be a sellout. They're going to release a couple more tickets, you know, this afternoon, if not tonight. But the fact that we're going to get it at max capacity that's allowed, so there'll be over 13,000 people there. And that's the thing that we've really missed that, you know, throughout the pandemic and, you know, this, you know, crazy season that, you know, we've had to sort of pivot here and there and everywhere. And, you know, I know the borough and our fan base, you know, are looking forward to seeing this product live and in person on the court. So to hear the energy that Barclays, you know, will have is going to be exciting. And I think that's probably when it will really hit me that, hey, look, we're coming out of this. We're hopefully on the other end, and we're going to need the support. You know, they've been incredible for the last, you know, 4 years, 5 years while I've been here, and I know that energy is going to be, will have grown even more.
All right, let's circle back before we let you go, Sean. If you guys don't win the title this year, will you be greatly disappointed?
I think we'll all be disappointed because we've owned the fact that there's an opportunity here for us to go get. I mean, look, there's a lot of teams that can consider themselves contenders. And I think that's the greatest thing about the NBA right now is you're looking at this play-in tournament, you look at how even teams are, and all of a sudden you've got 7-2 matchups, you know, 1 seed versus 8 seed matchups that you go, wow, at the beginning of the year, you know, this should have been a second or third round matchup, not first round of the playoffs. So I think we're honest with ourselves that we know anything can happen, especially this year where we've seen that. And you have to be a little bit lucky along the way, and you have to do everything you possibly can within your power to, you know, to be prepared and to be ready. And I know our group is going to do that. And, you know, yes, without a doubt, would I be disappointed, you know, if it doesn't pan out. But I can tell you that I think there's, you know, a number of teams that would consider themselves, you know, disappointed if they weren't the last team standing.
Sean, we thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I know you probably got some butterflies, and tomorrow you get to see your team start this run.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys. Look forward to it.
Good luck.
You got it. That's Sean Marks. Congratulations to Michael Otero from Belrose, New York. He won the Jet tickets. And in this hour, we're going to give away the Jet season tickets. In the 5 o'clock hour, the Knicks tickets for Game 1 on Sunday. So that's going to be awesome as well. Hey, he's honest. They have owned it. They haven't run away from it. Nash owned it when we spoke to him on Wednesday. Marks owns it today. They're built to win a title. They're not built to, well, let's see how many we can win. The right. Knicks this year, well, let's see how well they could do in the playoffs. It'll be fun. This is not the Nets. The Nets are Let's win the title. There's no excuses other than injuries, and right now they're not hurt. So that means, to me, there's no excuses.
And even if you go like beyond the Knicks, which is like an obvious comparison, this isn't even the Yankees. This isn't like we have a good team that's built to do really well. We should do well. These guys should. This is different. This is an absolute. You should win the championship.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. There is, and I think, you know, for a guy like Harden, of the big three, he has the most pressure because he's never won a title. Always fell short. And I think that Durant and Kyrie do not escape any pressure because they kind of built this. They came to Brooklyn for this. And if you don't do this, which is an NBA title, then you failed. So, yeah, I know Kyrie has his championship with the Cavaliers and Durant has his couple with the Warriors. But if not in Brooklyn, you failed at this. So, yeah, it's a big thing. It's a big thing that they're going after, and I think that they could do it. Let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, everybody, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. In his return to Texas, A-Rod is roundly booed in 2004 by the fans at the ballpark in Arlington. The fans continue to show their displeasure when the Yankees third baseman drives a 2-1 pitch over the fence for a home run during his first inning at bat. That's this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. Did you guys hear that A-Rod is putting out a product for men's makeup?
Oh, it's coming up in ENN. I got all the details.
Oh, good. I knew that you'd be all over that.
It's a big story. You kidding me?
I mean, A-Rod almost, if you look at A-Rod, if you've been close to A-Rod, I don't know if you guys have been close to it. I think Don has. He's got flawless skin, so it's not like he's popping up a zit to cover with makeup, but there are guys out there that do. They do have
that. I've got zits up a storm.
Aren't you like 48 years old?
41. But I'm very young. I'm a young 41.
You're eating too much chocolate is what you're doing.
Do you eat chocolate, Peter?
Sure, but that's not what
I speak well. My body's in shambles.
No, that's not that much chocolate, no. That's kind of an old wives' tale for me from like middle school when your parents are like, "You're eating too much chocolate. You're going to get zits. Take off your hat. You're going to go bald." I mean, it's a mix of everything.
Was your parents Howard Cosell?
Take off your hat. You're going to go bald.
All right. When we come back, Jets grand prize winner season tickets. And you know what else? We're going to hear from Donald Arthur Mattingly. The Mets are playing in Miami this week, and Don Mattingly does not have a great view of Major League Baseball. This is Don Mattingly. Donnie Major League Baseball. That's his two middle names. You didn't know that, right, Don?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, it's Donnie Baseball, Donnie Major League Baseball.
Well, you're the one that named him, so you would know the middle name.
Yeah, true. Well, I'm making you know now. 1-800-919-3776. 10 people are sitting in front of their radio right now wondering, will I get Jet season tickets?
Will I?
Will this be the moment? Will I be happy for the rest of the weekend because I got Jet season tickets? Just because I listen every day to these three clowns. Will it be that great of a day? 10 people. Only one could be happy. Stick around to find out who it is and hear from Donald Arthur Mattingly. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.